This is Free Talk Live. It is your show, and you can take control of the airwaves. Toll-free number, 800-259-9231. It is the Wednesday edition. And it's Ian here with me.
And Mark.
Once again, that's 1-800-259-9231. Before five people email me, yes, I'm sick. You can probably hear it in my voice. 1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Everything on the site is totally free. Got all kinds of good stuff coming up for you, but we're starting out with the calls, because this is the show about your calls. Let's talk to John in New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Hi, guys.
Hey, John. What's on your mind, sir?
I just wanted to do a little follow-up on the, I don't have all the information yet on the primaries, but I can give you some basic stuff.
I got to say, John, at this point, with the primary information, we've sort of outlined, you know, the way primaries work in New Hampshire, talked about how there's some free staters running in the election. And I got to say, if you're going to do a primary update, you have to remember that there's people internationally listening to this show, and so we have to sort of keep this as entertaining as possible for them. So I don't want to lose any audience to a, you know, what amounts to a boring sort of political update. So
okay.
If you could, keep it to 20 seconds and
okay,
go.
Okay, let me not bore them. Let me tell them to please come home. We've got two early movers who have won.
Awesome.
Out
That's
of
great.
Three that I know of.
Good news is good.
And we've got numerous NHLA-endorsed candidates who have won around the state here in Salem. All six endorsed candidates have won. And I'm going to start freelancing. And if people don't think politics matter in New Hampshire, I'm going to tell you something. A little one of those planes with a banner behind it just flew by congratulating one of the winners, not one of the guys I voted for. But politics means something, and we need your help.
When you
come
say you're
home
gonna...
to New Hampshire, folks.
Excellent. Good message. Now, when you say that you're going to do freelancing, what's that mean?
Well, what that means is, you know, when I first moved up here, Benson was the governor, and he was in the campaign.
Okay.
There's a political operative in the Republican Party who is the guy to go to get signs. I ran into him yesterday at the polls, and he said, you know what, John? He said, you worked harder than Benson did in this town. It's too bad Benson didn't work that hard, because, freelancing, what it means is I get their signs, and I do it on my time, on my dime, when I want, where I want, at intersections, and just go out there and get the word out.
You're talking about, like, standing on corners holding signs for political candidates, but you're not going to
totally
do it.
Yeah, totally unorganized. Totally
right.
unorganized.
You're
just
not doing it where
do
they
it.
Want you to. You're doing it where John wants to do it.
Absolutely.
John, it's good to know that there's good news, and, of course, obviously, we are here every night inviting people up to join the Free State
Project. Non-boring, the bottom line message is, come home, people. It's happening. And we're going to make it happen, and we need your support.
Well
Come
done, sir.
Come home and help.
Thank you, John. We appreciate it as always. 800-259-9231. I hope I didn't come across as too harsh there.
No, I think it focused him well. I think that's good focusing, and I love his come home message.
Absolutely.
When I got here, the first thing that I saw that John said to me when he saw me was "Welcome home," and he really means it. I mean, he's just such a nice guy.
You know, it was interesting coming up here from all the way from Florida. We drove over 1,500 miles to get here straight, pretty much. And I remember thinking to myself before the trip, oh, this is going to be so exciting leaving the state of Florida. And then it's going to be so exciting crossing into New Hampshire. And as it turned out, it was indeed exciting to leave the state of Florida. That was pretty cool. Because it's nice. I'd lived there for 26 years, and it was done. It was over with. I'm out. But by the time we got into Massachusetts, and we got up into northern Massachusetts, and you could really just start to see, you know, really start to see all the mountains and really cool stuff around, it really just felt more natural to be there than anything else. It felt like it was the right place to be more than an exciting sort of thing. I mean, granted, there was some excitement, but I really felt as though that's where I should be. You know, I don't know if I can explain that any better than that.
I just got lost. right there, right at the very end, poof, the directions went haywire on me. And
we got lost, too. Oh, except we were actually in Keene by the time that we got lost, and so it wasn't too hard to find the house because I knew generally where it was. But one of my gripes about at least this part of New Hampshire, I don't know if the whole state is like this, is that the road signage just bites. I mean, you have to know the area to really know what the roads are around here. You have to very, very carefully look for signs, which aren't placed where, at least being from Florida, we're used to seeing the signs right up there on the mast where all the where the traffic lights are held.
Mm.
Not so around here.
Not so much. You're lucky if you get a sign around here.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder. I mean, with me paying $6,000 for 1 year of property taxes, where all that money's going? Apparently, like 60% is going to the government schools. Ugh. All right.
Well, we got to pay to send other people's kids to school. You know.
Speaking of schools,
we're lucky we don't have to pay to feed their pets.
Indeed. Here's a story out of Montreal from today, hitting the news big time. The AP reporting that a gunman in a black trench coat and sporting a mohawk haircut opened fire Wednesday at a Montreal college and wounded at least 20 people, six of them critically, before he apparently was killed by police, say witnesses and authorities. Scores of panicked students at Dawson College near downtown fled into the surrounding streets after the shooting broke out at the school of about 10,000. Some had clothes stained with blood. Apparently, the SWAT team arrived, took this guy out, but there's still 20 people wounded, six of them critically. I mean, that's quite a tragedy.
Almost a terrorist attack.
That's what I was going to say. It makes you wonder, is this guy connected with Al-Qaeda? Is he a terrorist? How many terrorists have mohawk haircuts? I mean, we don't know much about him yet because, well, he's dead and you can't really interrogate him. But I'm sure as information comes out about his background, I'm just going to bet that he has no connection whatsoever to terrorism and that he's just some angry teenager, older teen, I guess, who wanted to take something out on somebody and he came to school with a gun. My point of bringing this up, besides to report on the tragic news, is to sort of throw back to what we were talking about earlier this week, and that is that, well, where's all the terrorism? I mean, I pointed out before that it's so easy in America, and this actually happened in Canada, and they've got a crackdown going there as well. It's so easy to wreak havoc on people, to destroy, to blow things up, to shoot people, as evidenced by this dude that walked into the school and just started taking people out.
Shame.
If he can do it, what's stopping Al-Qaeda? And I'm telling you, it's not the FBI and the CIA, because if that was the case, then they should have stopped this guy. But they didn't. They only stopped him after the fact. So where, again, is the terrorism? If you've got an answer for me, 1-800-259-9231. In other terrorist-related news, Mark, you've got a story about some people on an airplane stepping into action, as you have predicted time and time again that they will. Do you have that story?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were teasing it for a little later.
Sorry.
From the NBC, MSNBC. Federal authorities have declined to prosecute a man who tried to open a cabin door during United flight from Los Angeles to Washington. They like to get these big, long flights. It drives people crazy, I guess. This was on Tuesday night. Flight 890 was about 2 hours from Dulles when the man walked to the rear of the plane and flipped up the handle on the rear cabin door. Those doors cannot be opened when a plane is in flight, but that didn't stop the passengers from jumping on him to restrain him.
Yay!
They roughed him up quite a bit, said a federal official told the NBC News. However, after an investigation by the FBI, prosecutors declined to file charges. Federal agents said the man flipped the handle out of curiosity or boredom, not intending to cause any harm. It was a stupid move, something an 8-year-old kid would do, the FBI official said.
So they're not actually pressing charges against him.
Interesting.
Seems awfully reticent of them.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
The official said the man, who was wearing military fatigues and spoke Portuguese and very little English, was apparently a boxer and was described as walking down the cabin during the flight trying to attract attention by throwing punches into the air.
Well, he certainly did, didn't he? I mean, if you want to attract attention, wear camo on an airplane.
and throw punches in the air middle of the aisle. He was strutting his stuff, the official said. Even though the federal authorities won't prosecute, local prosecutors are considering some charges. Ken Wolfberger of Whitaker, California, who was on the flight, told the Associated Press in a telephone interview that he helped subdue the unruly passenger. The man wore patches on his fatigue with Special Forces and Jiu-Jitsu Championship logos. The man had been acting strangely for about 20 minutes, then sat up, wrapped belts around his hands, and threw punches into the air. Wolfenberger said he heard a flight attendant yell for help and tell the man, "Sir, get your hand off the handle." Anytime you hear a flight attendant shout, "Please help," you worry that something pretty bad is going to happen, he said. So Wolfenberger said the man was held down and punched by other passengers as he grabbed the man's leg. Air marshals then came and took custody of the man. Apparently there were air marshals on this flight. I've never seen one. The passenger came, and I've been on several flights since then.
Where were they while the fighting was going on? Did they just wait for the passengers to do all the hard work and then sort of saunter up and say, "Excuse me, folks, where the air marshals were arresting this man"?
You think that they would have said something to him while he was walking up and down the aisles throwing punches into the air?
1-800-259-9231. You take control of the airways. By the way, I support them not filing charges on this guy. The butt kicking was probably all he needed. More on the way. This is your show. You take control. It is Free Talk Live.
Fiercely independent.
Who do you think is worse, the Democrats or the Republicans? I say it's the Republicans, because the Democrats have no power at all right now. Should they get a hold of the reins of power somehow? I'll anoint them the worst party. The way I look at it, whoever's writing the laws, that's who you have to be concerned about at any given time.
Prudent perspective from an edgy windbag. It's Common Sense with Dan Carlin.
Get the MP3 or podcast at iTunes or go to dancarlin.com.
Republicans took over Congress more than 10 years ago. Since then, the government has grown by $1 trillion. This spending explosion has happened in part because Congress doesn't read the huge bills they pass. I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org. Our new proposal stops Congress from passing bills they haven't read. It's called the Read the Bills Act. The Read the Bills Act will slow Congress down, way down. It's easy for you to help make this bill the law of the land. You can learn more at DownsizeDC.org. That's DownsizeDC.org.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
People who use Cartabite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartabite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartabite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartabite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Coming this August through October, the Models of Excellence series, airing on CNN and the Discovery Channel, will be featuring segments on innovative home-based business solutions. Many companies were considered, but only one company made the final cut. The company that was chosen above and beyond the rest is the same company that you've been hearing about for months here on GCN. www.didyourobbillgates.com. This home-based business has changed the lives of many people worldwide by allowing economic freedom never thought possible. Through a combination of advanced technology and professional follow-up conducted by an in-house staff, all of the prospecting, presenting, and personal follow-up is done for you. Seem too good to be true? Well, think again. Check your local listings for CNN and the Discovery Channel special on this great program and see for yourself what a life-changing experience this can be. Would you like more information right now? Just visit www.didyourobbillgates.com and learn how easy it is to start today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
The show is Free Talk Live, and it is your show. You can take control of the airwaves via the toll-free number, 1-800-259-9231. Again, that's 800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And, of course, you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Absolutely everything on the site is totally free, including archives. We've got an entire year's worth of the show right there on the front page of the website. There's no logging in. There's no membership fees. None of those hoops that those other shows want you to jump through to get their archives. We give them away. right there on the front page of freetalklive.com. Again, freetalklive.com, and Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project. It's your only choice for more personal freedom and smaller, less intrusive government. To learn more about joining the Second American Revolution, go to freestateproject.org. Again, that's freestateproject.org. So, we're talking about this story of a man wearing camouflage, riding on some sort of an airline in America here, and he apparently wrapped belts around his hands, was jumping around the cabin, or
shadow boxing.
Well, yeah, shadow boxing, sort of fighting up, throwing punches into the air. And at some point, he just sort of decided to try to open a door that's not to be opened. And as a result, the one of the stewardesses yelled, "You're not supposed to open that. Get your hand off
please.
The lever." And at that point, the other passengers on this jet jumped up tackled this dude.
The man was held down and punched by other passengers. Air marshals then came and took custody of the man. The passenger became unruly about 3.5 hours into the flight, said the United spokesperson, Megan McCarthy. I'll give her a little just due there. I'm sure she's got a mom, so we'll mention her. After the passenger was restrained, the pilot decided to land at Dulles. McCarthy said it wasn't an emergency landing. There were 138 passengers and 6 crew members on board, and apparently 2 of them were air marshals.
Hmm.
So this only serves to prove my point that I've made many times,
indeed.
And people have disputed with me.
How could they have disputed with you? Because this has happened before. I mean, this guy's lucky. Remember, I don't know if it was 2 years ago or whatever, some guy was tackled in a similar manner, except they sat on his head or something, and
he killed him.
Suffocated or died because of a broken neck, one or the other. They killed the dude. I mean, this guy's lucky to have walked away, especially lucky to have walked away without charges.
Really, he is. I just don't believe for a second that passengers on an American airline, American passengers, are going to allow someone to take over a plane again.
Nope.
Here's a guy who just...
They're certainly going to do their damnedest to prevent it.
I shouldn't have said just. Here's a guy who tried to open the door on an airplane. I don't think any of these people, 138 passengers, knew that you can't open one of these doors on a flight. It makes sense that you can't, but it's an emergency door. Maybe you can. Who knows?
Okay.
And he tried to open the door, and they jumped him, and they restrained him, and apparently, according to the article here on MSNBC, they roughed him up quite a bit. So this is what's going to happen if you get out of hand on a flight.
Absolutely.
People are edgy about flying. That's just the way it is.
It's totally understandable.
You're not going to use box cutters or machetes or anything to take over a flight. I mean, this guy was a boxer.
At this point,
so many people jumped on him, he couldn't do anything.
Right. At this point, I don't see how anyone could disagree with you anymore on this. 1-800-259-9231. I mean, what else is there to say? This happened. It's happened in the past. And if somebody else gets out of line, according to the passengers, I mean, they're the ones that made the decision on this. Yes, the stewardess called for assistance, but there could very well have been some passengers sort of sitting and saying, "Why? There's no big deal. He just tried the handle." I mean, they could have had a more rational response to it, to give the guy a chance. But no, they jumped right out of their seats and used it as an opportunity to beat the crap out of this dude.
Pre-9/11 hijackings basically consisted of, flying to Havana or some third world nation and sitting there on the tarmac for a few hours, and then everybody got to go home. That was it. Now, I mean, after September 11, when they flew 4 airplanes into different hard obstacles...
Well, 3, but yes.
Well, the ground's a pretty hard obstacle.
Yeah.
People realize that they can die, and so they're going to react accordingly. It's not just...
It's not like in the movies.
Yeah, it's not an afternoon's adventure in Cuba. It's now a big deal.
Steven Seagal, Wesley Snipes aren't going to bust out of the side of the bathroom and save you. It's up to you at that point.
Apparently, if Steven Seagal or Wesley Snipes jump out of anything, they're going to get beaten up and held to the ground. Because that's what happened. This guy was essentially the Steven Seagal of this flight.
Well, it wouldn't have been hard to subdue Steven Seagal. He's a fat old man at this point. But I remember, and I'm not much for popular culture, but I saw this one movie a while back. It was so bad. It was called Ticker. One of those direct-to-video, B-release-style movies with Steven Seagal in it. And Steven is so big and fat at this point in his career and at his old age that every action scene with him, they had to really bring the camera in tight, like to where you couldn't see his whole body. You could only sort of see him throwing what appeared to be a punch and then, making a motion that looked like he was kicking. I mean, there was no action in this action movie. It was
really
just sort of... up-close movements, and then, you know, they cut to a picture of the guy getting punched by what was obviously not Steven Seagal's hand and that sort of thing. It was just silly.
So he doesn't have those lightning-fast moves he used to? Man,
not so
much. Fast.
And what's the deal with him? I mean, he wears the same... he wears the same outfit in several different movies. Have you ever noticed that?
No, what is it? Like Chaps?
I don't know how you describe it. Maybe
I think of Steven Seagal in Chaps.
Chaps, he's got some sort of big scarf that he wears. He's just a weird dude.
Well,
he's not very scary.
I remember reading that he and his wife get lots of high caloric enemas. Which,
wow.
You know, the fact that they would share...
What does that mean?
I'm not
a
sure.
I know what an enema is. You don't have to describe that part.
Thank goodness.
But what's a high caloric?
I'm not sure exactly. I know that it has the enema part in it, and that's
it
all.
It cleans you out extra,
and
I guess.
The fact that they would advertise it shows they're really into it.
Yeah.
So that seems weird to me.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Definitely. 800-259-9231.
Of course, I buff my nails, so.
Here's another weird one for you from ABC News. Rick Cribb, now 25, recalls the days when he got high using prescription drugs illegally at parties. He started when he was 19, saying, quote, I'd bring an OxyContin, and somebody else would bring a Valium, and we'd pretty much get blasted. One party even proved deadly for his best friend when he overdosed on a dangerous mix of benzodiazepine, a central nervous system depressant, and alcohol. Quote, I passed out and remember waking up and trying to move, said Cribb. He participated in what some are calling farm parties before he got clean through a program called Teen Challenge. This is new to me, Mark. I had not heard of this particular phenomenon before. If you have, though, and you can clue us in as to some more details.
What, 800 pills and alcohol together?
Hold on. I'll get the details. I'll get you a little bit of information, but I want to hear from somebody who's been to a farm party and knows that they're going on. It's a teen thing. See?
Okay, I thought it was just a party at a farm.
No. Farm, P-H-A-R-M, as in pharmacy or pharmaceutical.
I see.
Shows farm parties.
In the know I am.
Bringing whatever they could get their hands on, Cribb and his friends would meet, exchange drugs, and get high. Featured in an episode of Boston Legal earlier this year, farm parties are get-togethers where prescription drugs are exchanged. Anti-anxiety pills like Xanax and Valium, painkillers like OxyContin and Vicodin, and attention deficit disorder drugs, Ritalin and Adderall, are common drugs of choice. The parties are an outgrowth of a recent trend in teen drug use, because teen drug use is a recent trend. It hasn't been going on for decades. This is new. Nearly one in five teens reported trying prescription medications to get high, according to a 2005 survey of more than 7,300 junior high and high school students.
Wow.
By the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
So it's huge.
Including junior high in there, saying that, I think our power just went out, actually.
I think so. I think we blew a fuse.
Yeah. Why don't you go and rescue that, Mark, and hopefully we'll stay on the air.
Oh, save us.
800-259-9231. Want to talk about farm parties. You can dial in here and clue us in if you have been to one of these things. Do you know what they are? Do you know how often they go on? 800-259-9231. More info on the way. This is your show. It is Free Talk Live.
If you're tired of spending a small fortune every time you fill up, now you can do something about it. Ethos FR, a product used all over the world, has reported savings of up to 19% on gas and even reduced emissions of up to 30%. Ethos FR is easy to use and works with any kind of fuel, including gasoline, diesel, and ethanol. Ethos FR works by reformulating the gas in your tank to burn more completely, resulting in a cleaner engine, better mileage, more power, and fewer emissions. So visit ctsafegas.com and start saving today. That's ctsafegas.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
We understand that decisions related to health can be overwhelming. That is why at ResearchedHerbs.com we take pride in offering you herbs whose safety and effectiveness have been proven time and time again. For example, did you know that Live 52, the top-selling natural herbal supplement for liver diseases since 1930, is backed by over 300 research studies and clinical trials and prescribed by more than 200,000 health professionals worldwide? In fact, the effectiveness of all the herbs featured on ResearchedHerbs.com, including those for cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes, arthritis, cirrhosis, and hepatitis, among others, is extremely well documented. Our website, researchedherbs.com, was created to empower you with the information and answers you need to make the right health decisions. Researched and proven herbs at great prices. Visit us online at researchedherbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 for more information. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Are rising gas prices flattening your wallet? Try Royal Purple High Performance Motor Oil.
What? How's that?
Yes, independent tests by respected universities show Royal Purple reduces fuel consumption by as much as 5%. That means Royal Purple can deliver better gas mileage for a fatter wallet. Go to royalpurple.com for details. That's Royal Purple, the high performance motor oil that outperforms. Oil is oil. Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to royalpurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at Napa, O'Reilly's, your local high-performance center, and royalpurple.com today.
Hello, this is Amy Bjorklund. Are you totally satisfied with the nourishment you're getting? Do you have enough energy to do everything you really want to do? And are you content to remain in your current state of health indefinitely? Have you already tried diets, exercise, vitamins, juicing, or the latest, greatest nutritional wonder products? Perhaps those things have grown tiresome and not made you feel and look as well as you'd really like to. But what if you found from a single source the world's freshest, purest, most complete, whole, live food nourishment that tastes delicious and couldn't be any easier to consume? Well, you just did. So don't hesitate. Take the living energy you've always wanted from your nutrition right now. Visit truthandexcellence.com, click the Truth and Excellence banner on gcnlive.com, or call me, Amy Bjorklund, personally at 805-595-2711. 805-595-2711.
Thank you for listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You take control of the airwaves. Toll free, 800-259-9231. Thank goodness for uninterruptible power supplies.
Yep.
Mark?
We got a battery backup. You do love your redundancy, don't you, my friend?
It kept us on the air in that emergency situation where our heater threw one of the circuit breakers. So, 800-259-9231. We are still here, still talking about farm parties. That's farm as in pharmaceutical, as in pharmacy. As in kids getting together, kids who apparently are as young as middle school aged, getting together, throwing essentially a bunch of pharmaceuticals together and picking them out and popping pills.
Ugh, that seems like a really bad idea.
It is a bad idea. I mean, these kids don't, I don't know, maybe they do some, maybe some of them do research, but I wouldn't guess that most of them do. These drugs can have some real serious interactions with one another.
Well, it sounds to me like they just throw the way it was explained, it sounded like they just toss them together and people just take whatever.
As a matter of fact, that's exactly what's going on. Apparently, one in five teens reported trying prescription medications to get high, according to a survey of over 7,300 junior high and high school students. While there's no hard data on just how common farm parties are, it's not just the stuff of Hollywood drama. And by the way, that makes prescription drugs more popular than street drugs like ecstasy and even marijuana. That I find shocking.
Mm.
I mean, I could believe it on ecstasy and LSD and stuff like that, but more popular than marijuana?
Yeah, it sounds crazy to me. But
that's amazing. Well, I mean, that's what their survey found. I mean, these are the kids that are admitting to it, right? When you're taking a Partnership for a Drug-Free America survey, there's always that percentage of kids that is so paranoid that they're never going to admit to any drug use. So I think the numbers are actually higher than what they're reporting.
Couldn't there perhaps be some kids that admit to drug use that really don't do it, that are just doing it for...
I suppose.
And maybe that would mitigate the numbers?
But why would you do that if you can't show it off? I mean, you're not showing off to anyone else the answers on your quiz.
Yeah, but they also believe that it to be anonymous. So I don't see any reason... I don't know. It seems to me like some kids might do that.
Yes, I suppose. Anyway, every kid who's going to participate brings something from their parents' medicine cabinet, says the network coordinator for the Helping Families Initiative, an advocacy group in Mobile, Alabama. Her office deals with the school's reports and works with at-risk students. Here's how it works. They all get together at school. This isn't going on necessarily off of school grounds. Everybody dumps their pills into a brown paper bag, and then they all take turns pulling out a handful of pills. Can you believe this?
Isn't there something, like, I remember my grandmother talking about some medication that they give people to spontaneously vomit.
Wow.
Yeah, that'd be fun to just toss in there.
News reports also uncovered pill-popping parties in a basement in northern New Jersey and a warehouse in Davie, Florida. Despite the recent media attention, many of these get-togethers go undetected and unreported to the police. Quote, you only hear about it if it goes bad, when somebody has a bad reaction to the drugs. Most kids don't realize the dangers of prescription drugs and see them as a safer alternative to street drugs, says Jennifer Potter, the research program director of the Alcohol and Drug Abuse Treatment Program at McLean Hospital in Belmont, Massachusetts. Well, do you think that might be because, I mean, kids are seeing prescription drugs as being safer? Why? Because they're legal, right?
Right.
Because mom and dad can get them, and they can get them if they're hurt or whatever. They get a prescription for them. They can go in, buy them at a cash register. Therefore, they must be safer. I mean, it's stupid logic. It doesn't make any sense. But these are kids that we're talking about. I mean, they're not exactly the best of critical thinkers in the first place.
And the government does sort of, by having prescription drugs, the government sort of endorses, having illegal drugs, they sort of say that legal ones are safe. Doesn't that make sense to you?
Yeah, essentially, which is part
of... there's legal and illegal... And that's not too far from good and bad, and that's not too far from safe and unsafe.
Though that particular viewpoint is also echoed when you hear politicians, drug warrior politicians coming out, for instance, in Nevada this November, they're going to be voting on possible semi-legalization of possession, personal possession of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever these proposals come up for ballot, for people to vote on, the drug warriors come out and say, well, we can't do this, it's sending the wrong message, because they believe that if something is legal, it's an endorsement of its viability, it's an endorsement of its safety, when in fact that's not the case at all, and if all drugs were legal, then it would be ludicrous for somebody to draw that conclusion.
I mean,
if all drugs were fully legal and available on the marketplace without a prescription, as I would like to see happen, where anybody can go in and get anything they want from a store that's willing to sell it to them, where that's happening, it's going to be known that some drugs are good, some drugs are bad. You better do your research before you pick some up and put them in your mouth. There's not going to be that sort of gray area between legality and illegality. There's not going to be the gray area of pharmaceutical versus off-the-shelf.
Mm-hmm.
That all needs to go away, and informed consumers need to take its place. Let's go to the phones. Robert in Florida, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, what's on your mind, Robert?
Good. I actually used to work in a pharmacy. It was actually last year in high school. I worked in a pharmacy.
So what's the name of the drug that makes people spontaneously vomit?
Isn't that iodine, I believe, or something like that?
Sounds like that. I don't know.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, now that you say it, starts with an I, but it's not iodine. Ipecac or something like that. I forget what it's called.
Ipecac?
Something like that, yeah.
Sounds
so go ahead,
right.
You were at a pharmacy as a high schooler.
Yes. Yeah, and actually, like, the second or third day I was there, somebody walked up to me and asked me if I could get them some Valium pills.
Somebody you didn't know?
I mean, I didn't do it for them. I wasn't going to put myself on the line for them.
Sure. But was this a friend or just some random schmo coming into the pharmacy?
We had a class together probably about 2 years earlier.
I see.
And haven't talked since then. And that was, you know, he just asked me about that.
So, best case scenario, they do something stupid with the drug and get you in trouble. Worst case, they're actually working for the law and you go to jail.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. Good choice not giving it to them.
Yeah.
Were you relating that story just to point out how prevalent these are, or what was the point you were getting to?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, it's any amount of legislation is not going to stop something like that. It's up to the people to either, you know, not make it available or to, you know, point it out when it's happening.
When you're working in a pharmacy, you're obviously somebody, you're not old enough to be a pharmacist, so you're probably just filling prescriptions or working a cash register.
Yep.
What's do you know how easy it is to sort of siphon off pills? You know what I mean? Like, not actually fill a full order or somehow get a pill here, a pill there, off of the shelves and not have it show up in the system.
How hard would it be?
Tracked by inventory. Yeah.
It wouldn't be too hard because, I mean, all the drugs are classified under different categories. And obviously all the stuff you'd really want, that would be like a Category 2 drug,
okay,
like your Oxycontin and that sort of thing. And those are usually locked up in the back of the pharmacy with a key that only the pharmacist would have.
So,
but, I mean,
so then you wouldn't know then how easy it would be to sort of siphon off some of these pills.
But
that would be something the pharmacist could do.
You bring in a prescription, and then he'd take it out of the cabinet and hand it to me and say, you know, count out these many pills and that sort of thing.
Right.
So obviously you'd have a chance there to put a couple in your pocket or that sort of thing.
Right, and then the person would have to, and I don't think I've ever done this, the person would have to take out their 30-pill prescription and count all 30 pills when they
sure.
got home or right there on the counter
that's
or wherever.
Unusual.
It doesn't seem like that's very likely.
Indeed.
No.
So, now, how?
I've never seen it.
Now, I mean, you were in high school. How many of your, I guess, co-students, your fellow students, were engaged in pharmaceutical taking to get high?
Not many of my close friends were, but, I mean, I definitely came across people maybe once a week or so that were into that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's amazing.
You should slip them one of those Ipecacs.
Ipecacs, that's
yeah.
what it is, yeah.
Here you go, here's a pharmaceutical pill for you.
Get high on that, buddy. Thanks for the call, Robert. We appreciate it. 800-259-9231. So a report issued last month by Columbia University said that 14% of 12 to 17-year-olds said they had been offered prescription drugs for a non-medical purpose. Steve Passier from the partnership says this is not a passing fad. This is an entrenched behavior.
Yeah, and 14% doesn't sound like a passing fad to me.
Well, that's 14% saying they had been offered the prescription drugs. Didn't say they took
sure.
them. But as he points out, parents are clueless to it. It's that lack of awareness that prompted the partnership to launch the first national prescription and over-the-counter medicine abuse education campaign. The teen advocacy group in Mobile agrees that the word needs to get out to parents about the dangers of prescription drugs, saying, quote, they need to limit access to prescription drugs just like they would a gun. Oh, come on. What are you going to do? Lock your Vicodin up in a safe so your kids can't get their hands on it? It won't matter if they can't get it through your bathroom cabinet. They'll get it through one of their friends' bathroom cabinets, or somebody will rob a truck on the way to a pharmacy. It'll all leak out into the black market, and then there's no quality or safety controls going on at all. More's on the way. You take control of the airwaves. This is your show. 800-259-9231. It's Free Talk Live.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you know the truth about breast cancer? Do you realize that the race for the cure is over? The best-kept secret in the world today is that now it's possible to kill cancer without personal suffering, mutilation, and poisoning of your entire system. Now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at a physician's office. Star War technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267. 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasermedinc.com. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
If you're thinking about replacing your home's windows, think Sears. Custom replacement windows from Sears are low maintenance, tilt in for easy cleaning, and may also help reduce your energy costs. Add beauty to your home with custom replacement windows from Sears. Just call 1-800-393-8378 for a free in-home consultation. Call now and save $375 on select styles. Trust Sears for professional installation. convenient financing options, and best of all, with Sears, your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call Sears now at 1-800-393-8378 and save $375 on select styles. Offer ends 9/30/06. License number available upon request, not available in all areas. See associate or ask your consultant for written limited warranty details. If it's time to replace your windows, call Sears now, 1-800-393-8378. That's 1-800-393-8378.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean the hard-to-find kind that's all natural and not full of corrosive toxins and chemicals and detergents that just dry out your skin and have been connected to very serious health problems. Let me tell you something about the Calbin Pure Soap Company. There's a 100% unconditional guarantee on all their wonderful products. They're all natural, they're triple concentrated, they're factory direct, factory owned, and operated since 1947. Earth-free Pure soaps for bathing, laundry, and kitchen. Try Pure Soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else. Now for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves. Toll-free number is 1-800-259-9231. Again, that's 800-259-9231. It is Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. Everything on the site, totally free. The wiki's there, wiki.freetalklive.com. There's over 800 unique pages created by the listeners. In fact, all of the content on the wiki has been created by the listeners. You could be one of them. Go there and get registered. It's a free account. You go in, you edit. You can edit virtually anything that you see. You can add to the wiki, delete from it. It's up to you and everyone else. Wiki.freetalklive.com, wiki.freetalklive.com. So if you got comments on the farm party thing, I do want to hear from you. Slate.com has another story about that where they're talking about how they don't really believe that they exist. It's just something that it's a label that the drug abuse industrial complex has adopted to describe the decades-old tradition of pill parties. Hmm. So apparently this stuff has been going on for some time. It's just that I was totally unaware of it. Now, I've known that people have taken pills to get high. I've known plenty of people that do that sort of thing. I've known people that are hooked on these pills.
Same here.
Oxycodone, Vicodin, Xanax. I mean, there are people willing to pay top dollar on the black market to acquire these pills. And it's just amazing to me because it's a similar effect as these. I should say it's more of a gray market because they're legal sort of.
Ish.
Yeah. It's black market for illegal drugs. It's a gray market for prescription drugs. But these addicts are willing to pay $20 for a pill. $20. That's tremendous.
MDMA started.
MDMA?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It was at one point a prescription drug, and
it was.
Found that it was
Wait
fun
a minute.
To take.
Was it prescription? I don't think it was.
That was my
MDMA, I think I watched it was an ABC News special about ecstasy, and it's been a couple of years since I've seen it. But as I recall, they were actually, the drug was so popular, it was being given away.
Wow.
There was not a $20 payment. I mean, the $20 cost for MDMA has come since the drug has been made illegal. $20 is about what you're going to expect to pay for one dose of MDMA, also known as ecstasy, on the street. So back in the early 80s, when MDMA was really popular in Dallas, it was dirt cheap, and I think it was pretty much available everywhere. It was being sold in clubs and all sorts of things.
Well, 87, 88, 89, something, somewhere thereabouts, I was offered ecstasy. I didn't know what it was at the time. For $25 a pill from a guy that I was buying acid
yeah,
from
well, I
at
think
$5
was
a tab. And I'm like, no thanks.
Well, yeah, at that point it was illegal.
What do you mean?
The MDMA.
Well, it may have been illegal.
Right.
I'm just telling you what it was.
Oh, I see. You were just comparing.
Or 88.
Yeah. 1-800-259-9231. You take control of the airwaves. Borat is in the news.
Yes, he
is. Who
is
this guy? Do you know who he is, Mark? Have you ever seen his his television presentations?
I have. They're hilarious.
Super. Yeah. I love Borat. And there's, in fact, a movie coming out, a Borat movie coming out this year. If you've not experienced this guy, you should go to YouTube, YouTube or Google Video, or one of those video websites. Type in Borat and just watch some of that. They're just hilarious.
Borat is spelled B-O-R-A-T.
Yes.
Pretty easy.
What's going on with that?
U.S. President George Bush is to host, this is from the AP, host White House talks on British comedian Sacha Baron Cohen. Cohen, 35, creator of Ali G, has infuriated the Kazakhstan government with his portrayal of Borat, a bumbling Kazakh TV presenter. And now a movie of Borat's adventures in the U.S. has caused a diplomatic incident. The opening scene, which shows Borat lustily kissing his sister goodbye and setting off for America in a car pulled by a horse, had audiences in stitches when it was first shown last week. The film, which has just premiered at the Toronto Film Festival, has prompted a swift reaction from the Kazakhstan government, which is launching a PR blitz in the States. Kazakhstan President Nursultan Nazarbayev. The president of Kazakhstan is to fly to the U.S. to meet President Bush in the coming weeks. On the agenda will be his country's image.
Wow. I'd rather have the president, President Bush, I mean, as far as priorities are concerned, I'd rather have him having meetings about Sacha Baron Cohen or Borat than I would have him bombing other countries. I mean, it seems like a funny thing for a president to get involved in, but hey, at least it's taking up some of his time.
President Nazarbayev has confirmed his government will buy educational TV spots and print advertisements about the real Kazakhstan in a bid to save the country's reputation before the film is released in the U.S. in November.
The country's reputation?
The huge
tourist
industry coming from the U.S. to Kazakhstan?
I hadn't even heard of Kazakhstan before the Borat show.
Well, I'd heard of it, but it didn't mean anything to me. It was made about as much sense
maybe
as Afghanistan.
Maybe I'd heard of it jumbled in with all of the other countries in the Eastern Bloc or wherever the hell it is. I don't even know where it is. I presume it's Soviet?
Yeah, I believe that's the case.
If it wasn't for Borat, I'd have no really idea what Kazakhstan is or know anything about it.
President Nazarbayev will visit the White House and the Bush family compound in Maine. That's Kenny Bunkport, is that right? When he flies in for talks that will include the fictional character Borat. But a spokesman for the Kazakhstan embassy says that it's unlikely that President Nazarbayev will find the film funny. Roman Vasilenko said the government has expressed its displeasure about Borat's representation of our country. Our opinion of the character has not changed. We understand the film exposes the hypocrisy that exists both here in the U.S. and the U.K. and understand that Mr. Cohen has a right to a freedom of speech. They say that he has a right to a freedom of speech, but get this, it comes on a little later. Nazarbayev has taken Mr. Bush up on an invitation to visit the country and to help build our relationship with the U.S. I cannot speak for the president himself, I would assume that's Nazarbayev, not Bush, only for the government, but I certainly don't think that Nazarbayev and Mr. Bush will share a joke about the film. The bottom line
probably over George's head anyway.
You think? That sounds...
George Bush is somebody that would have been taken advantage of by Borat. Essentially, if you've never seen one of his productions before... It's Sacha Cohen in makeup, not in makeup, but he's got he grows his mustache really long, and he gets into character for a certain period of time, and then he goes out and films a bunch of different instances of him interacting with the American people. He actually originally came from Great Britain, where he did the same thing, and so the joke, I guess, wore thin over in Great Britain, because he'd done it for so long, people started to know who he was, so he brought the act over to the United States, where nobody knows who he is, and he can once again pull the scam on people, and it's just brilliant. He'll get together, for instance, at a like a hoedown or something like that, where...
I remember seeing the one at the rodeo.
A bunch of country bumpkins are hanging out, and he'll just... He'll start kind of just being flamboyant, kind of in a not necessarily in a gay manner, but obviously in a
weird.
Not in a weird manner, maybe with a tinge of homosexuality to it. And he just makes average Americans really, really uncomfortable. They don't know what to think about this guy. I mean, they know that he's supposedly from another country, so they give him a pass, right? Because if it was another American coming in doing the things that Borat does, like touching people a little too much and being silly... They give him a pass because they figure he's a foreigner, and, you know, we got to be nice to this guy. And there's cameras around as well, so that's another factor. And it's just amazing watching the reactions of just average, everyday Americans to this guy. And they really catch some candid moments. that are shocking. There was one of Borat going on a hunting trip with, again, a couple of redneck yokels. And in the course of this hunting trip, the Borat character is anti-Jew. So he'll make comments about, you know, throw the Jew down the well. That's one of the songs.
Of course, Cohen, the actor is...
Cohen himself is Jewish.
Right.
So which is why it's great. It's brilliant. He can get away with doing that, and nobody can say anything to him about it, right? So he's talking trash about Jewish people around these country bumpkins, and he kind of gets them to come out of their shell, even though there's a camera around, and they start trashing on Jewish people. I mean, it's the most despicable clip. I mean, you come away just hating these guys, these Americans, who are just so spiteful towards Jewish people, so mean, and it's like the secret, the hidden underbelly of some Americans that Borat manages to get to come out. It's just an incredible show.
The Kazakh government has previously threatened Boran Cohen with a legal action for allowing Borat to, among other things, make fun of his homeland, demean women, slander gypsies, and urge listeners to throw the Jew down the well.
Right.
Anti-Borat hardliners have pulled the plug on Borat.kz, Borat's Kazakhstan-based website, after his frequent displays of anti-Semitism and his portrayal of Kazakhstan culture. Narl Izin, president of the Association of Kazakhs IT Companies, took the action after complaints. He said, "We've done this so that he can't badmouth Kazakhstan under the KZ domain anymore. He can do it under whatever domain he wants, but not under ours." The row originally...
Well, good for them.
Yeah, great.
That's Suck it to them, guys.
They're aware he has a freedom speech, right?
Yep.
The row originally erupted in November 2005 following Borat's hosting of the MTV Europe Music Awards in Lisbon. The Kazakh foreign minister was furious over Cohen's bad taste representation of the nation.
What a bunch of uppity... what a bunch of jerks. What a bunch of PC losers. And really, I mean, do you think that they're really that angry, or are they realizing this is an opportunity to maybe get some extra tourism into Kazakhstan?
Well, it says here that no publicity is bad publicity, but I think that's wrong. I think Kazakhstan is getting bad publicity by their own actions here. Borat, on the other hand, getting lots of good publicity from this.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 1-800-259-9231. On the way, Pearl Harbor in question. You can bring up anything. This is your show. It's Free Talk Live.
Would you like to get involved with pro-liberty causes, but just can't find the time? Let us spread the word about freedom for you. Consider becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier now for just $3 a month, and you'll help Free Talk Live get on more radio stations and more MP3 players. That means more new people coming across the message of freedom every day. Other pro-liberty organizations seem to gobble up contributions and make very little progress. AMP actually works. For all the details, visit amp.freetalklive.com. That's amp.freetalklive.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.